This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscow-Aim. The United States is notoriously stingy when it comes to parental leave to care for a newborn or adopted child. That's compared to similar countries, many of which offer many weeks of paid time off. Silicon Valley is bucking that trend by offering more generous family leave policies. Netflix, for example, just announced that new moms and dads can take as much as a year off when their baby is born with pay and with maximum flexibility. This is from the company's blog. Parents can return part-time, full-time, or return and then go back as needed. We'll just keep paying them normally, eliminating the headache of switching to state or disability pay. These more family-friendly policies got us thinking about paternity leave. Are men using it? Do they face stigma if they do? Does it make good business sense to let dads take time off to help bring up baby? What's the fatherhood bonus, the fatherhood penalty? We have two guests who have joined us. Claire Kane Miller is a writer for The Upshot, the New York Times website, about politics, economics, and everyday life. She covers gender, work, and family, as well as technology and the way it changes our lives. She has been writing about this as well. And Claire Kane Miller, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's great to be here.
Also with us is Taylor Tepper. He's a writer for Money Magazine and took two weeks of paternity leave when his son, now 18 months old, was born. And Taylor Tepper, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you so much.
Claire, let me begin with you and let me begin with Netflix. Why are they being so generous to these new moms and dads?
Well, Netflix historically has a really different approach to HR and benefits. They also really spearheaded the whole idea of unlimited vacation time. So when you work there, they don't say you have 2 weeks, you know, later you'll earn 3 weeks. Instead, they say you take as much vacation time as you want, as much as you need, you know, consider it all paid. We trust you to get your work done. And so this new parental leave benefit really goes hand in hand with its overall approach. It's also a time in Silicon Valley at tech companies where they're realizing that they have really poor diversity numbers. There really are not very many women working in Silicon Valley at all. And as a way to try to recruit more people and make Silicon Valley more family friendly, a lot of tech companies are analyzing some of their family-friendly benefits.
To you, Taylor, you took 2 weeks off to take care of your newborn son. Can you imagine taking up to a year off?
I can only imagine it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. It would have been a wonderful bonus, a wonderful benefit to be able to have that amount of flexibility. I mean, my wife's employer, when it comes to American companies are, you know, particularly good, or they were very good and generous in terms of the amount of time that we were able to take off and have that time, or most of that time, be paid. So I can only imagine the flexibility to go back and forth in and out of the workforce as needed for our two schedules. It would have been a wonderful benefit if it's sort of reinforced through the culture of the company, which is sort of the next step for companies who employ this sort of strategy.
Well, let me just pick up on that, because I think that's a very important point, and it's really about, I guess, whether people, or men in this case, would be penalized for taking it or be seen as less competitive or less a part
less
of
manly.
Less manly. You took the words out of my mouth. Go ahead, Taylor. It sounds like you want to take it further. Go ahead.
No, yeah, it's all about that. If there's some sort of stigma attached, if there's some sort of sideways glance that men have, if men who are taking this find themselves not able to rise in the corporate ladder, then it's not going to be used in the way that the company announced that they want it to be used. It's not going to be actually seen as a recruitment and retainment tool. So it's all about everyone in the company, everyone buying in and supporting it, and not treating it like a huge deal, treating it as something that parents need to do in order to remain, you know, not broke and sane.
Well, Claire, let me go back to you. Do you think, and I mean, everyone is looking for this work-life balance, you know, the perfect work-life balance, but do you think that's different, broadly speaking, for men than it is for women, finding that balance?
It is. A lot of the academic research has shown that men face a much harsher penalty than women do when they take any sort of flexible benefits for family reasons. Many women, you know, who have been through this can tell you that they also face a penalty. It's definitely, you know, seen people call it being mommy tracked. If you take time off, if you seem to prioritize your kids too much, then maybe you're not offered a promotion, or maybe you're not offered the good project at work, or maybe, you know, you don't get a raise that year, these sort of subtle things. Well, now that men are starting to take a more active role at home and with family, they're finding that they have the same penalties, but they're even worse than women. Some academic research shows that men, over time, if they do take family leave, they are at risk for lower pay. They can get passed over for promotions. They can get demoted or worse job evaluations. And the reason that it's worse for men than for women is because there are these cultural expectations that men are the breadwinner and that women stay home. And even though in a lot of families in the modern workplace where most women today do work and the vast majority of mothers work, even though things have changed, you know, within households, they really haven't changed in the workplace and in terms of these cultural expectations. And as a result, when men act, you know, more like we expect mothers to act, they get penalized for it.
Well, Taylor, picking up on that, I mean, if we're talking about culture, is it the sort of top-down culture in that supervisors, bosses, administrators don't see a man who takes parental leave as part of the team? Or is it coworkers who say, look, I have to be here. Why are you taking time off?
I think it's case by case. I think it's probably – I think it can be both. In terms of, like, what can be done to change that culture, bosses need to – sort of be the example that they want to set. So they need to take their leave if they have kids. They need to take some of that vacation time if they have unlimited vacation time. They need to work from home if there's a sort of flexible work environment. The, you know, people who work under their supervisors and their managers are going to follow their lead. They don't want to sort of put their foot out there and then be penalized for it. So if a company really wants to sort of implement this new way of thinking and adjust their policy towards fathers who want to have more of a role in raising their kids than perhaps earlier generations, then, yeah, it needs to be the supervisors who implement it. It needs to be the coworkers who don't sort of squabble when and don't think of it as a vacation time when parents take the time off. They need to be sympathetic and realize that they were children, too, at one point. And, you know, it was very difficult for their parents, even back then, to, you know, put a roof over their head and be parents at the same time. So I think just a little bit more sympathy on the coworker level would go a long way, too.
Claire, let me go back, and this is a bit of a reality check, going from what Netflix offers to what the Medical Leave Act offers, which is, 12 unpaid weeks off, but you have to work at a company of a certain size. My understanding is it really only applies to about, 10-12% of the population. Just how stingy is that when we look at our counterparts, let's say, in Europe?
It's very stingy.
No, that's all right. Let me toss that first to Claire, but then Taylor, I'll go right back to you.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, it's not even comparable. It's almost half of workers in America are not covered by that. And even when they are, they only get, you know, like you said, unpaid leave. A third of men in America have no option of taking paternity leave at all, paid or not. So, you know, it's really very, very little. And in places like Sweden, in much of Europe, especially in the Scandinavian countries, also in Quebec, there are really, really generous leave laws. They can take months and months off. They get paid while they're out. And in order to really encourage men to take it, they've even incentivized them where there's certain leave that only fathers can take. And if they don't take it, then the family just loses that leave. And as a result, it's become a very normal thing to do, unlike here.
That's interesting that men have to be incentivized to take the leave.
It's true. It's the cultural thing that Taylor was mentioning. It's really hard to get over these cultural expectations that we have in our minds and that workplaces have. I thought it was interesting when Taylor mentioned senior executives really showing as a role model that they take leave, because at Facebook, also back in Silicon Valley, they offer 4 months of paid leave for mothers and for fathers, which is huge. I don't know if there's another American company that has such a generous leave besides now Netflix. And there was a senior executive there named Tom Stocky who took his full leave. Most men don't take their full leave there at Facebook. He took his full leave. He manages 150 people, and that really set an expectation. And Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and chief executive of Facebook, of course, he says he makes a point when someone's out, he says they're on paternity leave if it comes up in a meeting. He doesn't say they're out of the office. He specifically says they're on paternity leave in order to make it seem normal. But, you know, now Mark Zuckerberg's wife is pregnant, and I think that we can wait and see if he's willing to take the 4 months off.
Or at least stay off Facebook.
It's really hard to be idealistic in this world, but we're trying. Taylor, it sounds like you want to add something.
No, it would be interesting to see if you just stay off Facebook and change diapers. No, I think I think one thing that people don't really understand, or a certain segment of the population doesn't understand, is that it's not a vacation. It's not something. Even when dads take time off, they sort of, some will like look at, you know, askance and say like, what exactly are you going to be doing? You know, your wife is there. She is going to be doing everything. I mean, research shows that the vast, vast majority of men change diapers. They do grocery shopping. They do everything they need to do as part of a team to, you know, make sure. Like as a new dad, like I was just terrified that I was going to, you know, kill my baby. So like everything we did was just sort of a bunker mentality. And I don't think people realize just how much invested new dads are when they take their leave. It's they're part of a team. They're learning to be parents. They're learning to sort of do the types of things that they're going to have to do the rest of their kids' early years.
But I wonder too, Taylor, about, and this is, I think, true of most people, starting a career and starting a family sort of happens around the same time.
Yeah, no, for me it was the exact same time. I found out that we weren't expecting to have a kid, and I found out, my wife and I found out that we were having a kid about a month after I started my career here at
really?
Money. Yeah, and so it was pretty much the exact same time. And it's terrifying. You're sort of navigating both waters at the same time, and it's, you don't know what to do. You don't know which way is up. You're going to the doctor visits on your lunch break, and you're just hoping everything works out, and you're hoping you work for a company that sort of prioritizes, you know, a stable employee. And luckily enough, I do. So it can happen at the same time, and which makes it even more difficult to keep your head above water.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We're talking about fathers and family leave. That's Taylor Tepper. He's a writer for Money Magazine, as he just told us. Surprise, surprise, shortly after he started at Money, found out he was going to be a father. He took 2 weeks paternity leave. His son is now 18 months old. Also with us is Claire Kane. She's a writer for The Upshot, and that's the New York Times website. It's about politics, economics, and everyday life, and she has been writing about this particular issue. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We want to hear from the dads in our audience. We want to also hear from the employers in our audience as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, talking with Claire Kane Miller and Taylor Tepper about fathers, about dads and family leave policies, and explosion of phone calls at 1-888-477-9499. Claire, let me go back to you. Would you say, looking, and again, sort of broadly speaking, that family leave policies are more tailored to women than they are to men, more tailored to moms than they are to dads?
They certainly are. They're much more tailored to women. For example, a lot of companies offer women much longer maternity leave than they offer men. Or if men are going to take paternity leave, they have to say that they are the primary caregiver, which either means that they're in a same-sex couple or that the mother has gone back to work. So there are a lot of ways that still emphasize that this is sort of a woman's thing. And also, even when it's not, women are much more likely to take advantage of these policies and much more expected to take advantage of them. And really, that's one of the main things for eliminating this stigma and this penalty that people pay for taking family time off, is if men and women took them in equal numbers and if the policies were gender neutral, then it would be impossible. Mm-hmm. It would just be something that people do as opposed to something that women employees do.
And just a quick follow-up, Claire, is it good for companies when there are generous, if I can say generous, family leave policies available to men and women? Is that good for a company? Does it help the company?
So there are mixed results on this. I think it's important to be realistic. It does help in some ways, like it's been proven that it really helps retention. Google, for example, after they extended their maternity leave, found that they could hold on to many, many more women than they could before. People were just quitting after they took a too short maternity leave and didn't feel ready to come back. So it can help retention. It can definitely help recruiting, especially in a place like Silicon Valley, where a lot of people are of childbearing age. You know, it's a very young workforce overall. At the same time, of course, it presents challenges for companies, because when your employees leave for periods of time, you know, that's a challenge. You have to find someone to cover for them. Usually the pay does not come directly from the employer. It usually comes from, you know, payroll taxes or disability pay. Netflix is doing it differently, but usually the employer is not on the hook. And some employers say that it actually can be helpful to have to get someone to cover, because that means you can take another employee and give them new challenges and maybe start to groom them for a bigger role later on. But of course, you can see why companies might see it as a challenge to say, okay, everybody just take a few months off, we'll get by.
Well, you know, Taylor, as Claire was talking, I was thinking about the fact that so many people in this country don't take their full vacation days that are, you know, that are allowed to them. They, in a sense, leave them on the table. Do you think it's the same leave with parental leave, especially for dads, just feeling, for whatever reason, not entitled to take that benefit?
I do. And I think Claire made a couple really important points there. The gender neutral one being one of the more important ones. But yeah, I mean, if you look at companies that sort of offer 6 weeks of leave, about half for men, about half don't take up to that 6 weeks, which is weird. I mean, when you think about it, like I would have loved to have taken the full 6 weeks if offered, but they don't want to be left behind. They don't want to be forgotten about. So yeah, I think that sort of gender neutral ones, where it's not a parent thing, not a mom and dad thing, is a way to get people to take their full leave. So that's one way of doing it. Another way is what we were talking about before, in terms of the culture that your company's installing in its environment. And I think if the expectation is, look, you're going out and you have this important responsibility to do, we want to keep you for the long term. You know, don't worry about, set up your work before you leave, have a handoff person, let Bob know that your work is on server X, do that and then take your leave and then come back to work when you're ready to come back, is sort of the way it needs to be done.
And you took 2 weeks off. I mean, did you feel as if in any way that you were looked at in askance? I mean, it sounds like you were relatively new to Money Magazine.
Yeah.
But do you feel like you paid a price for that?
No. I mean, I don't think I'm a particularly good example. I think that I kind of leveraged my child to be able to write about him and get to go on shows like this. So I don't think I'm particularly representative, but no, I was not. My employer, you know, sort of rearranged the schedule a little bit. It helps that we're a monthly magazine and we have lots of lead time. So, no, I didn't really face a tax. Mm-hmm. And because I'm able to write about them and to write about issues like paternity leave, more generally, it's sort of given me a voice that I wouldn't have had before. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, for a vast majority of men, they're going to face challenges. I mean, it's a very competitive workplace. It's a very competitive environment. There is a culture of sort of self-sacrifice out there. You know, people talk to me all the time about how companies don't really do a good job of knowing how to gauge performance. And one way they sort of do it by proxy is just to see how long you're there. And so people feel like they need to be at their office, be at their computer as long as possible to show that they're sort of devoted to the company, that they're willing to give up their time to be at the company. But like the marginal time that, I mean, the marginal benefit of the time that you'd spend with your kid as opposed to those extra hours with your employer is just so much greater that yeah. sort of mentality needs to change.
Well, and what you're talking about is literally being at your desk at 6, 7, maybe 8 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people feel that sort of pressure just to be there, to be present, to be available, even when they go home, to go home and check their emails, to respond to their boss. I think that's it's a huge pressure that people are facing, especially as there's a new push for flexibility in terms of work. One of the downsides of that flexibility is that your employer can get to you at all times. So, yeah, I think people have, you know, this is sort of cognitive dissonance going on with especially with fathers. They want to be great dads. They want to be there with their kids. They want to be there to take them to the doctor and you know, run around the field with them. But they also want to be, you know, valuable employees. And at a certain point, dads need to make a decision. I mean, it's not like a big thing, but the dads need to make a decision. You know, what kind of role do I want to have with my family? What kind of role do I want to have at work? And what sort of give and take am I sort of willing to allow myself?
Claire, and then I do want to get to some of our callers here. You've written about the fact that, and we're talking about millennials in many ways, so young adults having kids, having a job as well, is having also very egalitarian views about how they want to be, how they want to raise their family, how they want to share responsibilities. But then when it comes to trying to balance this work and family life, they end up falling into more traditional roles. Can you flesh that out for us?
That's exactly right. So millennial men and millennial women have the most egalitarian attitudes of any generation. The vast majority of them say they want to split childcare and household duties 50-50 and that they both want to work and be able to support each other in their careers. And then once they enter that stage of life and start having kids, that sort of just ends. They really revert as a whole back to much more traditional roles. And the reasons, according to the social scientists who study this, is that the workplace is just really not set up for those roles yet. The workplace really expects men to be the breadwinner. And so, as anyone who's had a newborn knows, things get very difficult when you have two working parents and a newborn. There's a lot of new responsibilities to divide. People, you know, are tired. People are just trying to get through. And when they get to sort of that crisis point, the men just say, okay, I've got to, you know, prioritize work. This is what my work expects of me. They're not giving me much leave. They're not giving me much flexibility. And, you know, now I have a family. I need to do this. And the women say, okay, well, you know, someone needs to pick up more of the childcare and the household responsibilities. If you're not, then it's going to be me. And so, you know, a lot of them are really, it's not like they're throwing their ideals out the window. They're pretty frustrated that this is how it ends up. But the workplace is really not set up for these changing gender roles quite yet.
Well, and I wonder, too, you know, when your first or second grader is sick at school, who goes to get him or her? Is it the mom or is it the dad, Taylor? I mean, this is, I guess, another
exactly.
a bit of a test here.
Oh, 100%. And to Claire's point, yeah, it's frustrating. It's hard. It's like it's insanity when the kid comes and you're used to working a certain way and you have to adjust. And the sort of negotiations that you have to do with yourself, with your spouse, with your boss are very difficult. You know, you want to be, you know, my wife get a lot of pleasure and satisfaction out of our work, but we also want to be there with our kid who we love. So yeah, I mean, basically the way we've done it in terms of whether a kid is sick, whether Luke is sick, our son is sick, or someone needs to come out of the work to help him out or something like that, I mean, we just do – it's sort of a case-by-case, crisis-by-crisis moment, and whichever one of us has more flexibility at the time, whichever one of us can do it, then that's the person who does it. We don't think, oh, you know, my wife is a woman, so she has to do it. We really try and give each other, you know, time to have at work, to have personal time with friends. We really try and consciously pick up the slack if someone else can't do it.
And that's Taylor Tepper, and also with us, Claire Kane Miller. And they have both been writing about fathers and family leave policies. Claire Kane Miller is a writer for The Upshot at The New York Times, and Taylor Tepper is a writer for Money Magazine. Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. I see a bunch of emails as well, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. We have Amy from Elkins Park. Amy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had a comment about the cultural expectations and norms. My husband was a stay-at-home father for both of our children, for about a year for both of them. And the kinds of comments he would get in the grocery store, like, oh, you're such a good dad, my husband would never do that, or the lack of support groups. So there's very few dad's groups. There's lots of mom's groups. And so even if you have an egalitarian relationship, which I think we do, and you have the opportunity to take that time, or dads have the opportunity to take the time, the sort of social norms and expectations aren't really there to support them either. And so I think we also have to be thinking about that as well.
Amy, I think it's a really good point. Claire, you want to weigh in on that at all?
That's very funny, because I've heard the same thing, that when a dad takes a child to a pediatrician in the middle of the day, the pediatrician often says, oh, you know, I'm very impressed that the father is taking him in. And no one ever says anything when the mom shows up.
Of course not.
And it's just, oh, of course, you're doing what your duty. And I've heard that from a lot of stay-at-home dads, too, that at the park, you know, they'll try to talk to a mother and the mother will think they're hitting on them or something like that, when really they're just trying, you know, to go to the playground and talk to other parents, just like mothers do. And it really is. There's a growing number of stay-at-home dads, but it's really still a minority.
Yeah, Taylor, your thoughts?
Well, I can relate 100% when, if I were to take, if Leek were sick and we and one of us had to take care of him, and I had a day to take off to take care of him, I would take him to the park, I would take him to the botanical gardens, and I would feel self-conscious. In the way I walked, I would try to express that our nanny is sick and I am just doing this because my nanny is sick and I am actually an employee somewhere, which is not the right way to be. Yeah. And it shows a lack of understanding and sympathy for these types of situations in general. So, yeah, I think everyone needs to work at having a little bit more just acceptance and empathy, and realize that people are just trying to get through the day and not to put all this on everyone.
Taylor, how do you walk with the message, my nanny is sick and I actually have a job? How do you do that?
Well, I think it's all, I don't know, I'm sure I look sillier than I imagined to do it. It's rather impossible is the bottom line. And mostly you just keep your headphones in and listen to a podcast or something.
Let me get, thanks for calling in, Amy. Let's get, looks like Nicole from Germantown joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Nicole. Go ahead.
Hi.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, thanks.
Sure.
I was just listening. This has been an issue that I've given a lot of thought about over the last almost 2 years. My baby's 21 months old, and I did have leave for 12 weeks, but it was unpaid. I now work for a very large, well-endowed health system. I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. And what I found in the culture of healthcare is that there's an expectation that we drop everything and put everything before our patients, which, of course, as a nurse and other healthcare providers, we want to provide the best care. But what I've experienced is actually really punitive, sort of time off policies, especially around emergency time off. Like, mm-hmm. if my child is sick and I need to leave or I need to stay home, there's almost no flexibility for that without incurring like some kind of sort of disciplinary action after a period of time. And there really isn't a lot of work-life balance that's healthy for families, which is kind of an oxymoron when you're thinking about being an employee in a large health system.
Sure.
Where good health is important and work-life balance and stress management is important. And I know that my husband and I are constantly juggling situations when, you know, something is off with our daycare schedule, or the baby needs to stay home, or I need to leave early. And it's really, it's stressful enough that, you know, I've been spending a lot of time kind of thinking about alternatives, whether it's working per diem or, you know, just sort of working towards figuring out a way to be in a different kind of employment situation.
Well, you know, Nicola, and I'm really glad you called in because, I mean, clearly you don't work at Netflix, which is where we began our conversation. And Claire, I think this is probably much more a reality of how parents and probably young parents or parents of young children have to figure out how to juggle this work-life balance or work-family balance.
That's exactly right. There's a penalty that mothers pay just for becoming a mother because employers automatically expect that they're going to be prioritizing work less. Men actually get a bonus, literally a pay bonus, when they become fathers because employers expect, oh, you know, now they're family men, they're very responsible, they're very committed to earning a lot of money for their family. Except, like we've been talking about, when they take any sort of paternity leave or flexible hours, then they're seen the same way that mothers are. And I think another important thing to point out here is that there's a very big class divide. The people who work at, you know, high-paying jobs and who are generally well-educated employees are much, much more likely to be offered paid leave in the first place. People who are hourly employees and perhaps have less education and earn less money are much less likely to get any sort of paid leave, and they're in a much bigger crunch than even the situations we've mostly been talking about today.
And that's such an important point, and in certain ways a relatively privileged conversation. Taylor, we're almost up on a break here, but I see who's waiting in the queue on my computer screen here, largely women. Do you think men are reluctant to talk about this?
I guess so. Yeah, I think we are, for the reasons we've been talking about, that there is sort of the expectations put upon a lot of men is that you're sort of the he-man, that you are the breadwinner, and you don't want to be seen complaining or looking less manly than you're expected to be.
Kind of suck it up, right?
Suck it up. Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, people, life's hard. Suck it up. Work more, see your kid less. I mean, that sort of attitude needs to change. And I mean, there's only so much that kids can, I mean, there's only so much that parents can do. There's only so much that you can do and to change your company culture. A lot of this has to take place at the state and federal level in terms of the policies enacted to be more family friendly and, you know, help kids.
We are talking about family-friendly policies related to dads, and that's Taylor Tepper, writer for Money Magazine. Also with us, Claire Kane Miller, a writer for the New York Times Upshot website. And we're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, get some email comments in as well, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at @WHYYRadioTimes. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain talking with Taylor Tepper and Claire Kane Miller about dads and family leave policies. Let me read a couple of comments here. We had one from Ray. He says, do the companies who offer these generous leave benefits offer them to all levels of employees, not just executives or management levels? Claire, do you know the answer to that question?
It's actually something I'm trying to nail down right now, and as you might imagine, it is not easy for companies to give out this information. Sometimes they're hesitant to do so. But in a lot of cases, it's true. The salaried, highly educated corporate employees get these benefits. The hourly employees who perhaps work in the stores that a company runs or something like that generally don't get more than just the FMLA, the 12 weeks of unpaid leave.
Which makes it even harder to do that work-life balance, and add to that the fact that you're not making very much money, just adding to the stress of being a working parent, Claire.
That's true.
We have a Facebook comment from Christopher saying, having my own business and mostly working from home has provided the flexibility for me to be extremely involved in my child's life. Work flexibility sometimes means more total hours work, but the ability to adjust when the work hours are conducted after my child's bedtime. Raising a good point, I'll put this to you, Taylor, which is the importance of flexibility, I think, for parents, especially young parents.
Yeah, flexibility is key. A lot of research shows that new dads – That flexibility is even more important for new dads, or as important as other benefits. So the ability to take time off, not just when the kid is born, but also after his wife or his spouse goes back to work. So the ability to sort of bifurcate your leave, to the ability to leave work at 5, and if you have to pick it up later in the night, That kind of stuff just gives you breathing room to be able to get your work done and not necessarily in the traditional 9-to-5, pattern that's kind of slowly, quietly eroding.
Let me get Dr. Kenny from Reading, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Yes, thank you. You know, this whole discussion for me speaks to larger workplace norms across the lifespan. My husband was a part-time stay-at-home dad until about 2 years ago when our youngest child left for college. He's now 55, and now as he's gone back into the workforce full-time, he at times struggles because of questions of, well, what have you been doing all this time? Now, we're fortunate that we are both professors and in higher education, so there's been some leniency, you know, some liberal thought around this issue, but not all the time. So I just wanted to bring that up.
No, I'm glad.
That what happens for people that once they, what happens for these men once they've gone back?
And it's a very good question. No, it's a very good question. I appreciate the call. Claire, do you want to weigh in on that?
It's a very similar thing to what women have been dealing with for a long time when they take time out when their children are young or for whatever other family reasons. Is the American economy today makes it very, very difficult to take any amount of time off because skills change so quickly, technology changes so quickly that employers really sort of look askance at gaps in your resume. And there's a lot of on-ramping programs for women who take time off now, you know, with varying degrees of success. It's less common for men to take a lot of time off work, so I would not be surprised if it's an even larger hurdle for them to cross when they do.
Taylor, any thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the other reason that makes it difficult besides the constantly churning of the economy and the skills that are in demand is that Americans, by and large, aren't particularly good at keeping and maintaining 3-6 months of savings, emergency savings that they should be. So taking time off, I mean, we depleted our emergency savings while my wife was taking the full extent of her leave, part of which was paid, part of which wasn't. And another point I would make is just, I mean, it's difficult case by case, and I don't want to prescribe something that someone doesn't feel comfortable doing, but I would just own it. I would own the fact that, yeah, I spent time with my kid while he was growing up, and I worked part-time too. Like, I got to see him I got to go to his baseball games, and I got to go to his poetry readings, and I got to do all these amazing things while also staying clued into the workforce. It's pretty cool. Like, I would take that stance rather than a sort of defensive couch. I would just own it and be, yeah, I wanted to be there for my kid. This was a conscious choice. I didn't mess up. I wasn't being laid off or anything. This is something that I wanted to do. And that kind of positive attitude around it may help in small changes and sort of the way you're perceived.
Be loud and proud, right?
Loud and proud. Yeah, part of this is all kind of precious. For dads to be talking this way, especially given the hardships and the decades-long hardships that women and mothers have had to deal with in terms of this kind of stuff. But yeah, like you need to, or one way that I've found to be taken seriously and not to be looked at, you know, in a bad light is to say, this is what I love doing. This is, I'm taking time off to be with my kid. I'm going to do it. It's a cool thing.
Let me get, looks like Emiliano from South Philadelphia to join us on Radio Times. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I agree with, everything the guests are saying about extended leaves. I work for a very progressive employer and I was actually able to take 2 weeks off when my 9-month-old was born.
Wow.
And then after my wife went back to work, I was able to take another 11 weeks off, all of which were paid, which was obviously
great.
A pretty tremendous benefit. But I had two comments. One, my experience on the leave was I did get a lot of, like, you're such a great dad. There were moments where it felt a little tokenizing, to be quite honest. And I do remember some specific experiences at doctor's appointments where, you know, there'd be a question and somebody would say, oh, well, let's see what mom thinks. But in my mind, I'm like, well, I'll be the only one at these appointments for the next 4 weeks. So figure out what I think because I'm the one making the decision here. But I think the other thing is that it does strike me. I know the guests talk a lot about policy changes. I don't know how we get those policy changes until more and more fathers are actually asking them and demanding them. And while not everybody has access to leave policies, I feel like for me, the thing that needs to happen is that more people that have access to those policies need to be taking this leave. And I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with fathers who are nervous about taking the leave they have, or, you know, are thinking, well, what would I even do all day long? Or what would people think? And I just feel like as a generation of fathers, there's some of us, we've got to take the plunge. We've got to take the leave. We may have some of these sacrifices for our careers long term, but it seems to me like the only way to really get these policy changes is for people to actually, you know, put some skin in the game. And maybe that means that this generation of fathers is going to be set back. But I don't see how we get to the policy changes without there being an actual problem. And if fathers aren't willing to take the leave or push for it, I don't see how we have a crisis at the moment.
Well, Emiliano, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Taylor, a kindred spirit?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's funny. Before I had a kid, I mean, I was also in my early 20s, but before I had a kid, I didn't think at all about leave policy or anything. And after having a kid, I cannot believe that there is not, you know, demonstrations in the street for more Scandinavian like policies regarding this issue. So I absolutely agree. And as someone who graduated undergrad right when the economy went to hell, my careers are already kind of below what it would have been otherwise. So I agree that we should, make a conscious choice to prioritize families, even if that comes at a marginal cost to the amount of money I'll make in my 40s and 50s.
Well, it seems like, Claire, these young men have a very powerful parent on their side, the President of the United States, who said earlier this year, it's time to stop treating child care as a side issue or a women's issue and treat it like the national economic priority that it is. Those are words I think that resonate with a lot of people. I guess the trick is turning that into policies that work.
That's true. And a lot of the Democratic presidential candidates, including Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, have been making paid leave part of their platform. This might seem like it's not that surprising. It really is. This has not been something that people are willing to go out on a limb for. Keep in mind, we're the only developed country that does not offer any sort of paid parental leave, even to mothers. So the fact that this is becoming a political issue that people are willing to speak out about really shows perhaps a change in attitude. I also want to add that besides fathers and children, in some ways the biggest beneficiaries of paternity leave are actually women, because women whose husbands in opposite sex relationships take paternity leave earn more, 7% more over the course of their careers. They have less depression. They're absent from work less. And none of this is really surprising if you think about it. If you, as the mother, are not, you know, don't have primary responsibility for the baby, you're able to go back to work. You're able to put in more time at work. And, you know, as someone who had my own maternity leave, I completely understand why you have less depression if you have a little bit of help, because it is a very difficult period at the beginning. So I think it's important to realize that paternity leave benefits women as well.
Let me get Aaron from Allentown to join our conversation. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Good, thank you. Conversation, I just chimed in until or competition was coming. I apologize in advance. But I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I've been one for about 3 years now, 2 years, and it's been the best experience of my life. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Great.
And I never thought I'd be doing it when I was in college, but it just ended up on our plate, my wife and I. My point is that I'm trying to look for part-time work now just through our budget when I looked at it, and it's been really challenging because a lot of people will look at it. I think I heard, like, what have you done throughout your time lapse here? And they explain I'm a stay-at-home. Then they look all of a sudden at my education. They say, oh, you have a graduate degree. You seem overqualified just for simple part-time work. And I've been told now that I should limit putting that on my resume, which makes me a little uncomfortable because I feel like I'm holding back the truth, or, again, I want to be proud of what I've accomplished. So it's been really challenging so far in terms of just finding part-time in general with anything that I know I'm qualified for already, simplicity stuff or any kind of hours. So
sure.
I just want to throw that in there
sure.
from a dad's point of view. And
you
thank
know,
you for taking taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Aaron. And actually, this is something that came up earlier. And Taylor, maybe you'd say to Aaron the same thing you said to our previous caller, which is own it.
Yeah, like I would absolutely say, you know, I mean, it's difficult for me. I don't want to tell you what to do, what to do, even though I work at a personal finance magazine. But yeah, own it. I was taking care of my kid. I am a smart, educated person. I have this and that qualification. And over the last couple of years, I have been out of the workforce as a conscious choice to care for my kid because that's what worked for me and my family. And find an employer that values that sort of sacrifice, that decision, and recognize your power in the market and use that, you know, use that sort of use your education to and your experience as a stay-at-home dad to get the kind of part-time work that you want to get. But yeah, no, it's a terribly difficult situation to be in, and it's awful that the expectations and the beliefs of employers out there is, what is it that you do? Isn't your wife doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for calling in, and good luck to you as well. Claire, just something else that you wrote about, and this is a little bit in the weeds, but I think it's important, which is that fathers have higher wages. Hope I got this right. Fathers have higher wages, which is the fatherhood bonus, but they're penalized if they take time off to care for their kids, which is the fatherhood penalty. Do I have that right?
That's right. So overall, there's a fatherhood bonus, which is because employers think that, oh, if you have a baby, then you must be very responsible. You must be very committed to earning money for your family. And generally, men get raises after they have a baby. Women do not. Women lose pay because even if they don't take time off, even if they don't start leaving earlier, employers assume that they're not prioritizing their jobs. But once men start taking advantage of some of these family-friendly policies, then they're seen as in the same way that mothers are, and sometimes they're even seen in a harsher light and have a bigger penalty because of these cultural expectations that they do the opposite.
We have an email from Gina. I want to put this to you, Taylor, basically saying, I may have missed this. However, I was wondering if it was ever discussed how small business owners can possibly afford to do this. I mean, we talked about Netflix and its very generous policies, a very profitable company. But let's say a small business of 5 or 10 people, can they afford to do something like this?
I mean, obviously, it depends on the small business and what sort of expectations, who's going to be leaving, whether or not you can hire temporary work. I will say that if you can, you should. If you want a loyal employee, if you don't want turnover, this is something that you need to invest in. This needs to be something that you think about when you consider the types of benefits that you're going to be offering. This is a reality of life. You were once a child. And think about this when you're setting up your business and when you're trying to lure talented employees who will have kids. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what people do.
And Claire,
oftentimes the money is not coming out of the small business's budget at all. There's 3 states that offer paid parental leave, and in those cases, the money comes from payroll taxes that the
right.
employee pays. It's out of the same fund that, you know, every paycheck you get, you pay into disability. It's out of that same fund. So when you go out, the business pays nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying your salary, and they're not paying for you to be on leave. And at that point, they might be able to hire a temp employee.
And what are those 3 states, Claire?
Those are California, New Jersey, and Rhode Island.
Very good, because we had a tweet saying, don't forget New Jersey and what New Jersey does. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Claire K. Miller. Thanks for joining us today in Radio Times.
It's been great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Writer for the New York Times website called The Upshot. And Taylor Tepper, thank you very much for joining us as well. Good luck with that little baby.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And he's a writer for Money Magazine. A lot of people wanted to join the conversation. You can carry on the conversation. Go to our Facebook page, and you can also check us out on Twitter, and you can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. That's it for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Builder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. Our engineer today, Kevin Griffin. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us.